Who needs one? I want one. You want one? The two have become one. Good morning, everybody. I'm up above. Anybody else? Going twice? You're welcome. And for the February 23rd date, I believe is the Gomez family. What's your daughter's name, Jason? Belina. Molina. Molina. Spell it. That's what I said. Just joking. Molina, she's a precious man. As they all are. She gave me this paper with scribbles on it, and I always keep those. I got two today, one from Ian and one from her, so... Yep, I love it. I am. All right, if you're married in this house, will you please raise your hand? Or if you have been, just keep them up. I just want to see. So you can all appreciate a good compliment from your other half, right? Well, I have the compliment of the century received last night via my beautiful bride. So, just to give you a little precursor, I've been growing out my hair, and it's a modern-day mullet. And really, no, I've been growing it out, and this takes a lot of strength because it's not easy to look this good. And she, I think, hates it. You hate it, don't you? It is very strong, and that's why I said it, because you... Despise, debt spies, whatever. You don't like it a lot. A whole lot. And a very long one. I want to put it into ponytail. I can't wait. It's so crazy. I don't care. I don't care what you guys think, just to tell you the truth. So I'm in this, man. I am not turning back until next week. No. So the comment was when I woke up and I came out into the living room and it's frizzy if I don't do something to it. And it was like frizzy and it was like sticking straight out. And she looked at me and said, I've already exercised forgiveness and repentance, so you don't need to judge me, okay? She says, that's a serial killer look. Well, that's a serial killer haircut. And I'm like, what? You watch too much TV or something. Yeah, I have the mic. Excuse me. Okay. Well, anyways, apparently my hair is serial killer-ish. Metaphorically speaking. Yes. That's why I have kids. They kill my cereal all the time. These kids love cereal. Okay, but that's a whole other story. On another note, I picked that saying up from Pastor Mike because he says it all the time. And I just want to show you guys something I thought was pretty unique. These are, anybody know what capris look like, right? Anybody have, if you wear capris, you like them? Well, this would be capris for the, look at this. Capris for the arms. Isn't that cool? No? Okay. All right, that's why I roll them up. I think that's about all I have. And we'll move on to the real deal now. Amen, thank you. Thank you for thanking me. Anyways, yeah, I can't help it. All that stuff is just who I am. So I'm not a serial killer, and I don't wear capris, not even on the arms. I am thankful for the Lord that we serve, for the God who is our friend, who is our healer, our provider. I am thankful that today is a great day, and it's not because of a Super Bowl, an event. It's not because of I have a thing or don't have a thing or because something happened or didn't happen. That doesn't make today a good day. You guys with me on this? It doesn't make today a good day. What makes today a good day is our Savior, Jesus Christ. And nothing else, and I mean that, and nothing else. And this is something that I still battle with. I'm sure we all do. This is something that we have to be reminded of all the time because we tend to go back to default mode, and which says the exact opposite. But today is a good day, and I will watch the Super Bowl, but trust me, it is not because of the Super Bowl. I barely found out who was playing in the Super Bowl. It's not because somebody did something for me or did not do something to me. It's not because of something I received or did not receive, literally speaking. It's because of who my Savior is, because of who my God is. And this is something that I have to be reminded of all the time because it's easy for that to want to slip away for whatever reason, because our flesh is naturally gravitates away from God. Just one second. It is very true. And okay. So today I'm in 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. Actually, we'll go through a bit of it and just kind of see what happens here this morning. So, Heavenly Father, I just praise your name this morning. God, you're an awesome God, and I choose to receive every gift that you have for me. I choose to receive every good and perfect gift, Father, that you have allowed me to have and receive. And as your children, I pray this in faith, God, for everybody here today, just to receive who you are, Lord, your anointing, God, your presence. Would you just release your glory in this place, Father? Just release your glory. And how great it is to worship together and to just to sing songs to you, Father. How great it is to know that things don't make us, that circumstances don't make us, but you do, Father. And I thank you, Lord, that you're so faithful, that you're so true, God, that you lead us, Father, to yourself. So we bless your name this morning, God, and let your word fall upon ears that will hear, fall upon fertile soil. The soil of our hearts, God, will receive every good thing. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Living in the light. Chapter 1 of 1 John, verse 5. This is a message we heard from Jesus, and now declare to you, God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. So we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God, but go on living spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. Pay attention to that word practicing. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Can we say all sin? So one more time. But if we are living in the light as God is in the light, great Toby Mac song, then we have fellowship with each other, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we claim we have no sin, we're only fooling ourselves and not living in the truth. But, what a perfect verse for this morning. But if we confess our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all wickedness or unrighteousness. If we claim we have not sinned, we're calling God a liar and showing that his word has no place in our hearts. Okay, so if we confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. And that was a word that was brought through our sister Barb, which is a very, very, very important thing. for us to lay a hold of, to understand that to live in the light as Jesus, as God is in the light, then we must hold an attitude of repentance. We must continually lay our hearts and our lives on the altar before God in transparency and in truth, allowing the light to expose every bit of the darkest parts of our heart. Do you not have dark parts of your heart? Well, I can read you a scripture that might say otherwise. Does not mean you are bad per se or whatever. That's not the point. The point is that each one of us are in need of a Savior. Each one of us are in need of the righteousness of Christ, because righteousness on our own is a sin and we fall short every time. We are in need of the righteousness of Christ Jesus, who was the perfect, acceptable, without spot or blemish, without any mistake or sin. He was acceptable sacrifice on our behalf. He was on our behalf. So then it's in him that we can attain such a walk. And it is by and only by what pleases the Lord. For without faith, God bless you. Can't wait till you have your baby too. I'm excited. I'm like the baby weirdo around here. I don't know what God did to me, but I can't help it. I get all weird around him. It is. And coupled with the fact that my wife doesn't want to have any more babies. It's just a great combination. But if you don't believe me, try it yourself. But it's Jesus Christ that is the ultimate sacrifice, and he is our righteousness. And he did it, as Pastor Mike said, the scripture says, for the joy that was set before him, that's us. He did it because he loves us. He didn't create us in his image to kick us aside and go, oh man, forget that. He created us in his image and decided to stick with us no matter what, because there's nothing that separates us from him. Okay? So he didn't create us so that the second that we, what did he call it, fumble, then we're done. It doesn't work that way. I would say, when we choose not to repent and leave our heart open before God, I believe that that creates a distance. A distance that we cannot afford. Chapter 2 of 1 John says, my dear children, I'm writing this to you so that you will not sin. But if anyone does sin, we have an advocate who pleads our case before the Father. He is Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus. He is Jesus Christ. Everybody, let's say his name. Jesus Christ. That is, he is Jesus Christ, the name above all names. The one who is truly, the only one who is truly righteous. He himself, as a sacrifice that atones for our sins, and not only our sins, but the sins of all the world. I cannot stress to you enough how important it is to lay our hearts before the altar of God every moment. Every moment. See, we were not made. I heard that. I heard it. We were not made to carry those things upon ourselves. God did not create us so that we could walk around carrying the weight of the world, so that we could walk around carrying offenses, carrying and struggling through the world. He made us so that we could lay that all before him, that everything that we experience, that everything that we are is in him and in him alone. See, when I walk around and I choose to hold on to things, then what I'm doing is I'm replacing Jesus Christ with myself and saying that I'm good enough and he's not. And I choose to hold on to my shortcomings, my fumbles. And I choose to then project them onto others, because we know that your heart, it's your heart. And as your heart absorbs, and as your heart, as you go through these things, your heart changes and it becomes you, and so we're made to constantly allow the light of God through faith to be a lamp unto our feet. To clearly show us the way. To not take, anybody here ever been offended? No, yeah, it's a tricky question, I know, but yeah, okay, well, yeah. So, I'm offended right now that nobody actually responded to that question. So if you've been offended, then you might be able to understand what I'm talking about. Because in that offense is what we do is all of a sudden we're carrying that upon ourselves and we're allowing somebody else other than our Father in heaven through Jesus Christ to dictate who we are. And all of a sudden we start picking up on the wrong message. It's like I read something the other day. Is your soul starving or something to that point? And it related our daily walk with the Lord to nourishment to our physical body. And when we're starving, I don't know if anybody in here has experienced starvation. I don't know. Chances are it's possible, but more than not, we probably haven't in this day and age, in this country that we live in. But I certainly understand if you have. The point is that in starvation, you will reach for anything. When you're hungry, you don't care. You're going to eat. And you have something in front of you, you're eating it. And I saw a movie called The Life of Pi. Have anybody seen that? Besides my wife, who I went with? I'm just joking. Good movie, huh, guys? Life of Pi? That was an excellent movie. And they were, also saw this one show that, this is my randomness, but it's pretty good, where these two guys got stuck out. They were fishing, and their boat just ended up getting way out. I mean, I don't know how on earth it happened, but they ended up getting way out in the middle of nowhere. And after a few days, the one guy was looking, and he just wanted to eat his thumb off. That's how hungry he was, and delusional, I'm sure. And his buddy had to talk him out of it, and he literally went. Yeah, and it's funny, but it's not. But the point is, he was starved. And when our soul is that way, we just want to run for anything, and we almost will accept anything. And that's a dangerous place to be in because that allows us to behave in ways that we're not meant to. And I'm kind of trailing here, but that's okay. God knows what's up. So I was thinking this morning as I was worshiping, praying, reading, and it reminded me of fights. I watch MMA fights a lot, and before a fight, what they'll do for hours is they'll warm up. And they'll sit in a room, and while they're waiting, they'll warm up, and they'll get sweaty, and they'll get their heart rate going. And so they'll come out, and they're not coming out cold, like as if somebody just rolled out of bed or, you know, out of the office into a fight. They come out, and they're ready to go. They've been for at least an hour, 2 hours, have been exercising, have been practicing, have been getting their heart rate up. And that's the Lord showed me this morning when I was doing it. That's what I'm doing is I'm not coming out here and just like, and just trying to grab something and just talk and blah, 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 waste time. That I'm coming out, and it's just who I am. And he also showed me that that's something that every single morning, every single day of my life is available. And that's something that I want to encourage all of us is that this, what we experience here this morning and so much more is available in your own private time, in your own house, at where you live. This church thing is an awesome thing. Amen? I mean, this is awesome. I literally feel, I know you guys are my family. And we're connected in a way that is crazy. It's an eternal connection. And, you know, when I see the kids coming up and worshiping, and I get tears, and I'm just like, man, God is good. But It is not restricted to this building, to this time, on a Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, 10:30. Man, there's so much more. Man, ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters, he is waiting for us. He is waiting for us. He is yelling. What'd you say? Yeah, he's yelling for us. And he just wants to capture our heart in our own time alone so that when we come here on a Sunday morning, it's an extension of who we are. It's not something that we're getting and going, oh, yeah, that was good. And all of a sudden we're back to whatever we were before that, or however that works, which I've been a part of that as well. But this isn't enough. This is awesome. And I love you guys. More so, the Lord loves you. And this is great what we have. And we are a family. But there's nothing like going home and just getting lost in his presence. Any time of the day. It doesn't matter. There's no restriction. He does not say, well, hold on, I'm kind of busy right now. No. Just like, what's the granddaughter's name? The one that was tugging on your arm the whole time you were praying? Huh? Caitlin? Yeah. Like her. That's how he wants us to be. The whole time. She's up here praying and Caitlin just like, come on. I mean, almost the whole time. And I just sat there and smiled. I'm like, this is awesome. And God showed me, you know, we're literally to just bug him. I mean, it's not bugging, but you know what I'm saying? We're literally just to come before him and lay it all on the line. Everything just comes out. You know why? When everything comes out, we're living in the light. We're letting the light, the righteousness of Christ, expose our hearts and literally like recharge us. Okay, we're like batteries walking around. Our charge will go down if we do not consistently, persistently seek God. It's not going to happen on its own. We have to seek God. We were created that way. And so it brings him great pleasure. It says, without faith, it's impossible to please him. And we must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. But it takes faith. That's crazy to think that it takes faith. It doesn't take me helping 45 elderly women across the road in a month. It doesn't take me giving X amount of dollars or me donating my time at the church. It doesn't take me, I mean, whatever you put there, put it there. It doesn't take that. It takes faith to please God. It takes faith. We must believe that he is and believe that he is who he says he is. And how are you going to do that? You've got to know the word of God. You've got to persistently study the word of God. You've got to know who he says he is. Because without that, you're just kind of grabbing. We got to believe that he is who he says he is and that he rewards those who seek him diligently, persistently. He loves us. I had a conversation with somebody this week. I've known this person for a little while now, a couple of years. Recently, they have made a decision to follow God in a way like never before. And the conversation came up. The short version was something to the point of, you treat me better now. This is totally Josh's translation, but it was the heart of the subject. You treat me better now because I go to church. And those words weren't exactly said, but that's what was said. You treat me better now because I go to church. Or you have more trust in me or something like that. You have more trust in me. And I says, well, yes and no. Yes and no. And I said, actually, I have more trust in you now because your life is speaking out loud what's going on in your heart. So you're living it out. So it's not, oh, hey, you come to church. Oh, hey, let's put all our trust in this guy now. So it's not like that. I said, man, it's because what's going on in your heart is being shown through your actions. And because of that, you're becoming more trustworthy because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ in you. And I believe that statement was just made out of just, immaturity, I guess, for lack of a better term, lack of a better word. Just was not really knowing. But I wanted the person to know that, look, I've always loved you. And if I'm treating you different, it's not because you're coming to church. It's because you have a relationship with God. And out of that relationship, I'm seeing you behave in a way that is completely changed. You're brand new. And in 1 John chapter 3, I want to just comment on this real quick. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 19. It says, yeah, I love 1 John. Dear children, let's not merely say, this is 18, that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. 19, our actions will show that we belong to the truth, so we will be confident when we stand before God. Our actions will show that we belong to the truth. And that's what I was trying to explain with this person, that it's our actions, it's his actions that are proving who his God is. Before that, on a consistent basis, his actions proved that the world called his shots for him. The world called. So if he got this or didn't get this, if he was with this person or wasn't, or however, if he got, one day it was great, one day it was down. Anybody been like that? It's like up and down. It's like this roller coaster. And we're not made to be that roller coaster. You know, that does such a terrible thing on our body too in the long run. You know, our body just literally just cringes, and you start losing this up here and starts going gray right here. And start joining the gray hair for, what's that club called? Hair Club for Men, not only the whatever. Yeah, okay. So anyways, back to the truth. So we are created to walk in the light of God. We are created to God gave me an awesome description this morning of the praise and the glory and the faith that we upload this faith, and he downloads joy into our hearts. So it's like we upload, and I don't know why I'm using computer talk, but we upload, we trust in him that he is who he says he is. We read his word. It literally changes our hearts. And just by that act of faith, as we know his word, as we get his word in us, it changes us in here. And all of a sudden, our vision is open. Our things are different. We're walking in this light. Our path is clear ahead of us. And we're able to look at things in such a great, with a great joy and a great a faith that before we didn't have. And Jesus loves every one of you guys. Have you heard that lately? That's good for an amen. Thank you. Amen. Thank you. That's awesome. So, we need to show through our actions who our God is. We need to live in the light. We need to practice. There's a word, practice, is used in the very first scripture that I read. I said, hold on to that word. It says in verse 6 of 1 John chapter 1 that we are lying if we say we have fellowship with God but go on living in spiritual darkness. We are not practicing the truth. I looked up the word practice. It says to train by repeated exercise so as to become proficient or skilled. And we're to practice. And that word really stuck out to me. And that's like the battery, the analogy of the battery. We're to charge our batteries nonstop. We're to continually be aware of his presence. We're to continually be in the word. And not just accepting, like for example, today, I shared some scriptures out of 1 John. And that's cool that it touched you, because that's just how God rolls. But when you go home and you have time, you read these for yourself. There's something that brought, you know, a curiosity or sparked something in you. You go home and you open 1 John for yourself and read it. And let Holy Spirit guide you through it. Let him speak to your heart. Let him show you those things that need to go. Show those things that he wants to build upon. It says that we're not practicing the truth. And we need to become proficient. We need to be skilled in the Word of God. We need to let the Word of God shine in us so much that things and people, they don't matter. You can have a mullet and it doesn't matter what people say. Now, that's a whole nother, that's just an example. That's just a really good example, but it doesn't matter. But we need to be able to stand on the foundation of our Savior Jesus Christ. See, we have fellowship with Christ, who is God in the flesh, through walking in the light and living in love. Fellowship with Christ, who is God in the flesh, through walking in the light and living in love. And as a result, our eternal life is secure through Jesus Christ. One thing we need to be very aware of is, the Lord is so faithful, we need to be very aware of the pride. Be very aware of our own actions and understand that God loves us so much. It says that he first loved us, and that's how it's even possible for us to love. And that it says in 1 John that perfect love casts out fear. There is no fear in perfect love. And that we are to walk in the light. We are to maintain an attitude of worship, maintain his presence by being truthful. Don't hold on to anything. He knows already. He just wants all of us. So let it all go. Let's have a repentant heart. Thank you again, Holy Spirit, through Barb Kennedy, and he is perfect in his timing every time. And know that this thing that we have here, that God has allowed us to have, is a great, awesome, and wonderful thing. And that even better opportunities, even better things, quote unquote, are available for you in your own time with God the Father. Even better. I have a good time here. I dance around and stuff. I do stuff that I don't always do. And I just close my eyes and it's like, hey, I'm here alone. And, you know, I'm not really. But I do stuff here and I have a great time. And I literally, I love it here. I'm like many of you. I could hang out here a lot. But even better things are available at home. And we don't want to prevent God's blessings from being poured into our lives. We don't want to leave there a bit of separation. And we don't want to give others the ability to dictate our day, to dictate our mood, to dictate how we respond, act. They don't have that authority. They don't have that ability. God does. He's our Savior. So Father, we thank you, Lord, that you are faithful, God. And I thank you, God, that Father, you dictate. You are the final authority. You are the truth. And you are the light. And you are love. And it's in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for each one of us, who literally gave his life so that we could have a freedom like never, ever before. Like we could have a freedom in you. God, today you gave great opportunities. You moved again like you always do. And I pray, Father, that our hearts are repentant before your throne. Not just when we're together as a family, but when we're alone in our own times. Father, that our hearts, they're your hearts, God. We just lay them before you. You guys want to stand? Let's stand together. That music always does something. Let's just each one of us take, representing our heart in our hands. This is an act of faith. Obviously, your heart is not in your hands. But let's take what by faith is our hearts and let's cup our hands together and offer it to the Lord. In unity, Father, we offer our hearts to you. Let there be nothing. Let there be nothing that stops us, God, from fellowshipping with you. Father, I would ask right now to each one of us that you would expose that which is darkness. Expose that so that by your love we may draw closer. Expose those things. Just ask him to reveal the truth to you. Reveal your truth to me, Father. That our hearts may be yours and completely yours. Lead us, God, in this. Lead us, God, in the truth. Father, we don't want any part of our heart to not be surrendered to you. As there are many parts of our heart, many chambers, if you will, in our heart, we surrender them, God. We want nothing to hold us back, God. I want to love you out loud. I want my life to speak of your existence. I want my life to speak of your love, God. Satan, you have no authority. You have no authority. We bind your works. It says in 1 John 3:8 that Jesus Christ came to destroy the works of the devil. And as our hearts are laid before you right now, Father, we thank you. We submit them to you, God. May every single chamber, every single part of our hearts, which represent our lives, be yours, God. And nothing would hold us back. I take this opportunity again to repent, to have an attitude, to create an atmosphere of repentance, understanding that I will always need you. That I will always need you. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, God, for this wonderful day, Lord. For your presence in our lives, God, for your perfect word. Let it speak to our hearts the truth to be revealed through us. Amen. To us and through us. God, you are ever so faithful. And there is none like you. There is no one like you, Lord. In Jesus' name, we praise you. Amen. Amen. Hearts of transparency. Thank you, Lord. All right, go watch your Super Bowl. 49ers.